everybody. Welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm your host, Scott Horton. And when I have a question about nuclear weapons or nuclear power, I ask Gordon Prather. Gordon, you there?
Yes, I am, Scott.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for coming back on.
Okay.
Gordon Prather writes for WorldNet Daily and antiwar.com. You can go and look up all that he writes there. Now, Gordon, before we really get to the heart of the interview here, I think I'd give you an opportunity to sum up your experience, your career with nuclear weapons technology and that sort of thing so that people understand where you're coming from.
Okay, starting when I was commissioned through the ROTC process into the United States Navy, I've been associated with the research, development, production of U.S. nuclear weapons. Then for about 25 years or so, I was in Washington, D.C. in various defense-related, let's say, planning, programming, and budgeting roles for national security items, which included, among other things, nuclear weapons. But since the collapse of the Warsaw Pact and then the subsequent collapse of the Soviet Union itself, I've been primarily associated with the so-called non-Luger programs, which are the attempts to peacefully and dispose of the 30,000 or so nuclear weapons that the Soviet Union had.
So the point here is that when I ask you a question about nuclear weapons, you actually know the answer. You're not guessing.
Yeah, that's right. I've put together and tested a whole bunch of them.
All right. Now, Gordon, I'm going to play a clip here real quick. I want you to listen very carefully. This is George W. Bush last Wednesday in the State of the Union address to the U.S. Congress.
Today, Iran remains the world's primary state sponsor of terror, pursuing nuclear weapons while depriving its people of the freedom they seek and deserve. We are working with European allies to make clear to the Iranian regime that it must give up its uranium enrichment program and any plutonium reprocessing and end its support for terror.
All right, Gordon, two things. What is the evidence that Iran is working on a nuclear weapons program? And are we, quote, working with our European allies to resolve this matter?
No, it's just the other way around. And the president, as he frequently does, and other people in this administration. By the way, I don't blame all of this on Bush. Clinton was not much better, you know. I mean, it's been quite a while since the Cold War was over, and the efforts by various presidents, including Clinton and Bush, in this area have been, in my opinion, usually counterproductive. That is, they have made it more likely that terrorists or rogue states are going to get their hands on nuclear weapons. Okay. Now, what he said in there is that the United States believes that Iran has a nuclear weapons development program. All right, let's go back to Iraq. Several years ago, we said that President Bush said the same things. President Clinton had said the same things 4 or 5 years before that about Iraq, that they had a nuclear weapons program and that we had to intervene, otherwise terrorists were going to get their hands on them. Well, the International Atomic Energy Agency has been on the ground in Iraq and Iran for, I don't know, 20-something years, something like that. And as of the Operation Iraqi Freedom, that is when we invaded Iraq almost 2 years ago, the IAEA absolutely was on the ground going to every site that the CIA or anybody else suggested might have some nuclear weapons program components there, found absolutely nothing. And that's their job, is to figure out whether or not a country that is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which both Iraq and Iran are, has these kind of things ongoing. Okay, now let's go back to Iran. We're talking about Iran now. In 2003, almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago at least, Iran signed, and so did Libya, signed an additional protocol to their safeguards agreement, which gave the IAEA essentially the same kinds of authority and powers in Iran and in Libya that the UN Security Council had given the IAEA in Iraq as a result of the original Gulf War. Okay. As of now, as of November and December of last year, 2004, Mohammed El-Baradei, Director General of the IAEA, says that Iran has been, and Libya too, has been totally cooperating with them, and that they have been able to go anywhere they wanted to go, that they had some reasonable reason for going there, like the CIA telling them, well, we think there's something weird going on there. They've gone there, and they've found no evidence whatsoever. As of right now, as of the president's speech, of a nuclear weapons program in Iran. Okay, now I'll pause for breath for a minute, but I'll just simply tell you that the United States has no right to demand that Iran give up its nuclear enrichment, its uranium enrichment program, or its spent fuel reprocessing program, because under their safeguards agreement and under the terms of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which is the principal method we have for preventing nuclear proliferation, Iran has every right to do that. And the reason that they have done it somewhat surreptitiously is that for more than 20 years, we have strong-armed the Europeans and the Russians and the Chinese and said, you cannot give them, you cannot provide them these technologies and capabilities, even though they have an inalienable right under the Non-Proliferation Treaty to have them. As long as they use them for peaceful purposes, they're absolutely guaranteed them. And so for the president to insist that they give them up is essentially our violation, the United States' violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
But wouldn't the Republicans say that, hey, Iran's sitting on a sea of oil. What do they need with a peaceful nuclear program?
Well, once again, you can't blame this all on Republicans because I saw just on the Lair News Hour yesterday what you might have thought would be the two sides of the issue on the Iranian uranium enrichment program or all of their programs. And both of these guys were peacenicks, you know. Will Milholland or something like that from the Wisconsin Nuclear Control Institute, and another guy's name I've forgotten from the Peace Institute. I forget who got offhand. Carnegie Peace Institute. Both of these guys are peaceniks. They're anti-nuclear. They're not Republicans. And they both were echoing the line, yeah, you know, Iran's got this nuclear weapons program. Well, how do they know that? There's no evidence whatsoever. And the IAEA is there on the ground. Of course, you can say, okay, they're incompetent. Well, they were right about Iraq. And the United States and the United Kingdom were wrong.
Well, but hasn't the IAEA been wrong about Iraq before? Didn't they give them a pretty much clean bill of health before the war? And then didn't we find out they had a much more advanced nuclear weapons program than we thought?
Yeah, but that's not quite. In 1990 and in 1991, which is when all hell broke loose in the Gulf, all the IAEA had the authority to do was to visit those facilities that Iraq had declared to them.
Okay, so they didn't have an additional protocol to the safeguards agreement.
That's right.
I see.
In the aftermath of the war, the UN Security Council gave the IAEA the authority to go anywhere they wanted to go and see anything they wanted to see.
I see.
And that's when they discovered that the Iraqis had been working secretly in another part of the country that the IAEA was not allowed to go to on nuclear weapons. Okay, well, immediately the signatories to the Non-Proliferation Treaty got together and working with the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the United Nations agency, one of the few agencies that's probably worth keeping or is effective. And they developed this model additional protocol, which is pretty much gives the IAEA the authority in any country that is a signatory that has signed an additional protocol. And the United States has signed such a protocol. I don't believe the Senate has actually ratified it yet. They hadn't the last time I looked. But at any rate, they now have the same kind of capability for, say, Iran or Libya as they had for Iraq after the war. So,
Gordon, I'm really interested in the different approaches being taken by the United States and the Europeans in dealing with Iran. I remember you wrote a column, a few months ago, about, it was called The Golden Offer, about how Iran had offered to open up their entire nuclear program, to internationalize it, basically, and to bring in European companies to take part in everything that they're doing nuclear, so that there can be no question as to what their real motivations are. And I wonder, what's the status of that offer? Was that accepted?
No, but it's basically, those are the what they call the, what is it called, the Paris Agreement. I wrote a column just this last weekend on it, and I've forgotten exactly what it's called. But anyway, here is the reason that the Iraqis have been, or at least in my opinion, have been so secretive about a lot of the things that they did.
Did you say Iraqis, you mean Iranians, right?
The importation of gas centrifuges, thousands of them, from Pakistan or from some other source, was not a violation of their safeguards agreement or of the non-proliferation treaty, which the safeguards agreement is a product of. They are not required, were not required under the old regime, to report that they even had a system capable of enriching uranium until they actually introduced uranium into that system. That's the way the things were up until the Gulf War. Up until the Gulf War. So until they signed this additional protocol in 2003, the Iranians were under no obligation whatsoever to declare the pilot gas centrifuge plant that they were building, or the commercial scale one that they were building, or any of the research and development that they were doing on gas centrifuges, or any of that kind of stuff. Okay, under the additional protocol, they are now required to do that. And so they did. In 2003, they said, here are all the things that we have not been required to tell you about up until now, but under the additional protocol, which we just signed, we are obligated to tell you about, and here they are. And it just blew the IAEA's mind, because they had no idea about any of this had been going on. Now, the reason that the Iranians did this surreptitiously, is that for more than 20 years, the United States has had, essentially unilaterally, imposed sanctions on not only U.S. companies, but European countries, companies in Europe, and said, you can't export anything in these general categories to Iran. And that includes, just this last week, the United States put pressure on General Electric Corporation, a U.S.-based corporation, says, some of your subsidiaries, your European subsidiaries, have been selling medical equipment to the Iranians. You got to stop that. Okay, so the whole point right now between Iran and Europe is the Iranians say, you Europeans, if you want any more of our oil and a few other things like that, Persian rugs, you're going to have to resist this pressure by the United States. You're going to have to going to have to trade with us on a wide range of things, because this, we're just not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to have our own nuclear programs. We're going to have our own nuclear power plants. We're going to kind of become self-sufficient unless we come to some kind of agreement. And so That's what the European Union has agreed to do. And the Chinese and the Russians have indicated that they support this agreement. The United States is opposing it. We are still saying, you know, any U.S. company or any subsidiary of any U.S. company or any Chinese company or any Russian company or any European country, we absolutely will put sanctions on you. We will not allow you to do business with the United States or anybody else if you supply Iran any of these things. As I said, it even includes medical equipment. Now, what's this all about? Well, again, it isn't just George Bush. It goes back a long time, all the way back almost to Jimmy Carter, that we are unhappy with the regime in Iran, and we've been trying to get it to topple it. And as I say, the only way I get involved in this is because we got into this nuclear business. And in my opinion, the activities that we have been engaged in Iraq and Iran and in North Korea have been counterproductive in terms of keeping nukes out of the hands of terrorists and or rogue states.
Are you suggesting then that this is really about regime change and the WMD is just the excuse as it was in Iraq?
Exactly what the president said in his second inaugural and what he said essentially in his State of the Union, you know. And other people have been saying this all along. It's been about regime change in Iraq and a regime change in Iran and a regime change in North Korea and Libya and Syria all along. And they just reached out and got any hammer that they could find to beat these people over the head with. And I don't care about any of that so long as they don't contribute to the proliferation of nuclear weapons. You know, I'm not involved in any of the rest of that stuff.
You know, I bet you there's some people in the audience wondering, yeah, you and this and George Bush that. You're not some pansy Democrat, are you, Gordon?
I hope not.
All right, hang on right there, everybody. Gordon Prather, he's an expert on nuclear issues. He writes for antiwar.com. We'll be right back to wrap up this interview on the Weekend Interview Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Friends, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show. I'm your host, Scott Wharton, and we're talking with Gordon Prather. He knows all about nuclear bombs, and he writes for antiwar.com. Now, Gordon, let's see, there's a couple of different directions I can take this thing the last few minutes here, but I think we should just go ahead and talk about Israel. The day that George Bush was re-anointed Emperor of North America, Dick Cheney appeared on the Don Imus show. And when Don Imus asked, hey, why not just let Israel bomb Iran instead of us do it, Dick Cheney said, yeah, you know, we consider that. They just might do it. And I wonder if, in your opinion, that's a green light for Israel to just go right ahead?
Yeah, there are two ways to look at Cheney's comments. And by the way, I met him and knew him relatively well through my wife ever since he was a President Jerry Ford's chief of staff.
Is Dick Cheney a psychopath in your personal experience?
I'm astounded at the way things have turned out here. I expected, and a lot of other people expected, for Cheney to be the voice of reason to keep Bush in line in this administration, but it hasn't seemed to turn out that way at all. I'm at a loss, and a lot of other people that have known Dick Cheney for a long time are at a loss to understand what's happened. I mean, you know, it's conceivable we're wrong and they're right, but they were wrong on Iraq. There ain't no doubt whatsoever about that. So now the question is, are they wrong about some other things? But let's go back to his comment. You know, as I say, I like the guy, and I have great admiration for him, and I just don't understand. All he needed to say was, when Don Imus made that comment about why don't we let Israel do it, all he needed to say is that our relationship with Israel. The United States' relationship with Israel is such that they dare not do anything without checking with us first. And that's the way it is. I mean, they literally, Israel could not exist if they did something that caused us to say, okay, the hell with you.
Did they ask first when they bombed Iraq in 1981?
I don't know. I was in the Pentagon at that time and in the office essentially right next door to Richard Perle, you know, one of the principal neo-crazies. And I'd known Perle not real well since he worked for Senator Scoop Jackson and I worked for Senator Henry Bellman. Bellman being almost an arch conservative and Scoop Jackson being a liberal on every other thing in the world except the defense of Israel, you know. The only thing that, and of course I think a lot of that was because he had this staffer named Richard Perle. Well, at any rate, there was, I think, you know, if you recall, the United States officially condemned, as did every other country in the world practically, the Israeli unprovoked attack on a safeguarded, an IAEA safeguarded nuclear reactor in Iraq, which had been constructed and was not yet completed. They hadn't gone online yet, by the French. In fact, the reactor was almost exactly the same one that the French had built for the Israelis. There was no possibility that that particular reactor could have ever produced materials that were, as long as it was under IAEA safeguards, as long as the IAEA was standing there watching them operate that reactor, there's no way the Iraqis could have modified that reactor to make materials, fissile material for nuclear weapons.
All right, Gordon, we're about out of time here, but I do want to point out that last Sunday on this week, George Stephanopoulos asked Rice about Cheney's comments, and she refused to say that she would tell Sharon not to bomb Iran.
Why can't she? Why can't we demand that this administration tell? Because the consequences might be catastrophic.
Hey, everybody, read what Gordon Prather writes at antiwar.com. Thanks a lot, Gordon. We'll talk soon.
Scott, bye.
Take care. Everybody, stay tuned. Scott Ritter's coming up next.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN Live.